Notice that our songs and our thoughts about the Lord are always the best words and thoughts that you could ever imagine. The word home is mentioned in that particular song. All the connotations of home that mean so much to us are wrapped up in the idea of heaven. We're going home. And not only that, but the word love, everything that we think of that's so good is wrapped up in our faith in Jesus Christ, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to recognize that all of that is very real. One of the things that we do often in our announcements is we refer to James chapter 5 and verse 16. The idea, of course, is the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've depended upon that. We've looked at it because we have had need of prayer. And I know that some of our ladies are discussing prayer in their studies. So we wanted to look at that today and recognize that God always, always answers our prayers. It may not be the way we want it to sometimes, but nevertheless, we do need to pray and believe that our prayers are going to be what we want the Lord to understand. And a prayer always emphasizes the idea of us being needy, and indeed we are needy people. We need the Lord. We have a song, "Every Hour I Need Thee," and that's exactly the way it is. I don't understand how some people go through life without God, having to face the issues of life, having to understand the problems that we all have to face. How would we do that without leaning on the higher power? And it simply speaks to us of the fact that we're creatures, not the Creator. And there are going to be issues in our life that sometimes we just cannot face by ourselves. I talked with a lady one time who was losing her faith, and I asked her the question, "Linda, don't you feel a need for God in your life?" And she said, "Well, no, I don't think I do. I don't think I do." And she is still alive, but she's living in a nursing home. She's been there for about 10 years because she had a terrible ordeal and went into a coma. I think about her a lot. I think about that. How much we need to recognize our need of God. Amen. And prayer always does that. We don't pray telling God how much He needs us. We pray about that. So the answers that God gives to our prayers is important to us. I'd like to talk about that this morning. Somebody says, "Well, does God really hear prayers? I prayed about my problem and God didn't hear or answer my prayer." And I'm quite sure that's the way a lot of people feel about that. But the thing about it is, when you begin looking about this, and I have no idea what just happened. I'm somewhat at a loss for understanding computers. I get by, and that's about the way that I do it. All right, so now we're back on track. Sometimes God says yes when we pray. It's a wonderful thing, and I know that every one of us, without a doubt, has had times when we feel like our prayers have been answered. It's not an electric feeling. It's not that God wrote things across the sky. We have simply talked to the Lord about our problems, and He said yes about that. In order for that to happen, the Bible tells us we have to ask in faith. Please turn with me to the book of James, and let's look what James had to say about this as he considered prayer, because he certainly mentioned that in James chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. The Bible said, first of all, it talked about asking for wisdom, and that will be given. Then verse 6, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So the Lord expects us to have a firm foundation of faith when we pray. I like to think, when I pray, that I pray to the God of Abraham.
Amen.
The same God is still there. I pray to the God that Daniel prayed to when he faced the lion in the lion's den. And I pray to the same Father that Jesus prayed when he said, "Thy will be done." And that puts the idea of God in a real perspective. He's always been there. And I have to recognize that sometimes I may not pray for the right things, but I'm trying to pray, and the Bible all says with regard to that, it must be according to God's will. So I'm not going to try to pray for something that God doesn't want me to pray. And John talked about that in 1 John chapter 5, beginning of verse 14. And so there's some parameters to prayer. There are things that we need to recognize when we do pray. In 1 John 5, beginning of verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition we have asked of Him. So the idea is that ask according to God's will. We don't want to ask for something that is a violation of what God teaches us. So that requires that we understand the Bible. I want to pray, but I've got to pray for things that would be within God's will. And when someone prays the sinner's prayer for a moment, that sinner's prayer says, well, I'm just going to receive you into my heart, and that's all it takes. That's not according to God's will. How many people have been taught to pray the sinner's prayer in vain? Because that's not according to God's will. Then also, it says that we must be doing the will of God when we do that. Sometimes people only pray in times of desperation. I understand that. But we ought to pray, as the Bible says, pray continually. We pray all the time. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 22, the Bible says, whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So if I'm going to expect God to answer my prayers with a yes, first of all, I've got to believe that God is able to do that. And I know from our studies on Sunday night with regard to Jesus being the Almighty and God being the Almighty, there's not anything that God can't do. And the time of miracles, Jesus said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed, and it would be removed. Well, they didn't pray for anything that small. What they prayed for was the Holy Spirit to be with them. And look what the apostles did when they covered the Roman Empire with the gospel of Christ, because they had faith that God was going to be with them. And so this is something that we understand. There are preconditions to the idea of praying to God. Not everybody has that right. I know that John chapter 9 says we know that that God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. And then you go to Acts chapter 10 and you read about Cornelius. Well, Cornelius was a man who was seeking God. He was a man ready to do what God said. And so as he prayed continually, then God made an arrangement for him to learn the truth and to be saved. And I believe in the providence of God very clearly. The idea that God does not work miracles in our age. God worked true miracles, not sham things, not false miracles, but in the time of the apostles, there were absolutely very true miracles that occurred. They're not doing that today. People are mistaken when they expect God to work miracles today. People say, well, here's a birth of a baby. It's a miracle. No, it's not. It's a natural law that God has set in motion. Miracles do not happen today. I'm not saying I don't believe that God has lost His power. His power is the same, but the miracles were for a purpose in a particular time in the church's history. So that when there was no Bible to support faith, they had the miraculous works to prove that they were from God. That vanished when the Bible was completely written. And so we don't ask for miracles today, but we ask according to God's will, and we have the assurance that He will hear us. And sometimes God will answer prayers. He'll say, well, not yet. Not yet. Amen. We're not ready for that. And it may be that God is waiting on something from us. That is, that we have to develop and strengthen our faith. There are conditions, as we pointed out, and one of them is we have to have faith. And if I can't pray in faith, I remember one lady was in the hospital. She said a preacher came to see her, and she asked him to pray for her. He said, well, I'll pray, but I don't believe that prayer is going to higher than the ceiling. He believed in some kind of psychological release, but he didn't believe that God heard prayer. And she said, well, I don't want you to pray then. And I don't blame her. He wasn't ready to pray. He didn't have the kind of faith that he should have had in order for prayer to be there. There are certain things in our life that we have to strengthen and develop. I know that we come to God as we are. But even as we are, we learn to do things to grow and to mature in our faith. And it may be that God is waiting for us to catch up to Him as we pray. And to recognize that sometimes we may not be mature enough to handle what we've asked for. Could ask for a young man to, I want a wife. I want to pray for a bride. Well, it could be that he's not ready for a bride. And the idea is that he's got to grow up and learn some things. And it may be in so many ways, you just look at the whole realm of life. And there's so many things that maybe we're not ready, and that God recognizes our gifts and our talents, and they're not able, matured enough to be able to have those things. And it could be that while I'm praying for something, God is looking at something else. I have such a faith in His overreaching knowledge of everything. God knows only my past, He knows my future. Now, in my future, He allows free will. And when I begin to pray for something, it may be that God wants me to go in a different direction. And that's something that we have to leave ourselves open for. Does the Lord want this for me? And I've got to be flexible enough to recognize that sometimes I've got to take a different course than what I've been pursuing. And all those things go into it. That is, as you're thinking about God and you're expressing to God the desires of your heart, you remain open to the idea of possibilities of different directions. And God is able by His providence to open up those other doors. We've heard people say that when God closes one door, He opens up another. Well, that gives us an idea of that very thing. It may well be that I'm going in a direction that's not best for me. And as I pray about that, God will show me that I'm going in the wrong direction. And so it may be, well, yes, I'll answer that, but we've got to wait a while and see if you're mature enough to do that. Now, I'm not talking about I'm talking about very real possibilities. This is the way God answers prayer. Sometimes He'll say yes, and sometimes He'll say that we need to wait for a while. And then there are times God says, yes, but not yet. Not yet. And I want to turn to Philippians 4 and notice some things about prayer that help us understand this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Chapter 4 and verse 19. Here the Apostle Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is, God can do whatever He feels able to do, what He feels right to do. His hand is not shortened. It's not that He cannot do what we ask. Sometimes it's not the best thing for that. And sometimes He wants us to wait a while for something, as we mentioned a little bit earlier. That involves patience. And I have this little thing on my refrigerated door that I've seen in a lot of homes. God, give me patience and do it now. Americans lack instant gratification. We want things quick. I remember back when Elizabeth Taylor was fighting the Battle of the Bulge. She was quite obese. And some comedian showed her in front of a microwave saying, hurry, hurry, hurry. And that's the way Americans are. We want something and we want it now. And the idea of waiting for it is sort of foreign to our way of thinking. Things are so instantaneous in America. We have so many avenues of instant gratification that we can hardly understand that. But the Bible talks about patience as being a real virtue and gives an illustration of it. James chapter 5, beginning of verse 10. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we can count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and sees the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And so there is an answer to prayer, but sometime we've got to wait for it. an example was the prophets. I think so many times of Jeremiah. What a tremendous faith that man had, and yet he had it under such great persecution. God had told him that all the sins of Israel had caught up to them. That his patience was gone. God had patience, but now his patience was gone. He was going to bring the Babylonian army and destroy Jerusalem. And he said, you tell the people that if they resist, it's going to be harder for them than if they'll just open the gates and let them in. So Jeremiah said that, and he understood that this is what's going to happen, but they thought he was a traitor. He was disheartening the army by saying, open the gates and let them in. And so they threw him in prison. He was in mire up to his armpits, and he was being persecuted and everything. Yet he knew that this was going to happen, and he had to, with patience, wait for God to do what he was going to do. Then, of course, he talks about Job and the problems and suffering that Job endured. And he talks about a span of probably years where this took place. But at the end, Job says, oh, now I see. Now I understand. And the Lord blessed him more in the end than he had at the beginning. Yes. Now, the only way to do that is by patience. And patience is something we learn. It's not something we enjoy. You're like a little child, and you say to the child, I'll give you a sucker right now, or wait till tomorrow and I'll give you a $5 bill. They want the sucker. They want the now. And we're so infantile sometimes that that's the way we are. And we want God to answer our prayers yesterday. And he doesn't work that way. And sometimes he's going to answer us, but he wants us to learn patience. And when we learn patience, there's some blessings over here that we'll never really understand until we learn patience. So we have to pray to God and not expect a flashbulb moment where things happen just spontaneously, that God's going to answer all our prayers and he's going to do it yesterday. There are things we have to learn to have patience about those things. And then there's an element that God says we have to learn, and that is persistence. We keep asking. Turn back to Luke 11, and there's an example the Lord gives about praying that's really important. And there's more than one thing that's mentioned in that that Jesus talks about. But here in this particular passage, beginning Luke 11 and verse 5, he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me now. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, there was another example of the woman who went to the judge. And the judge would not grant her petition, but because she was persistent, then the judge did that. But both of these illustrations are that we are to continue to pray for the Lord to do what we need and do so with persistence. Ask more than once. Talk to the Lord about this. Explain what your need is. Explain why you depend upon Him. You're praying for something and you're not just saying, I'm just going to ask you one time and I want you to do it. You're showing the Lord the persistence of someone who knows that you're able to do it, and I want to show you something about me in my prayer. This is something that shows God about us. We're not fickle. We're not unstable. We have a need, and I'm going to pursue that need because I have a need. And when I show the Lord my persistence in that need, depending upon Him, He hears me. And that's such a simple thing, and yet it's profound in the way that we really do need to keep on praying. And that's why the Bible says to pray without ceasing. And then, of course, there are times when God will answer your prayer, but say you need something else. God has a wisdom and power and perspective above anything. I cannot imagine God in reality. I understand immortality. I understand the eternal principle of God, but I really can't grasp it all. I understand space. I understand the concept of space, but I don't know all the space that's out there. Nobody does. And when I began to think about God and His ability to answer my prayers, He's able to do above and beyond all that I ask or think. He's got my best interest at heart. In the Roman gods and the Greek gods, there was a lot of vengeance that they felt about their gods. That if a god saw you prospering, he would strike you with a drought or strike you with some disability just to be sure that he got his way. The gods were cruel. The gods were capricious. And that's not what the Lord is. And so I understand that God is able to do all these things. And when I ask, and it's something that is according to His will, and it's something that is something to be done, then I know that God is able to do that. And so in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." So we have a cooperation with God in our prayers. Actually, we're working together. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He's working according to what's in us, and yet God is able to do above and beyond anything that we can think. And some of that depends on what I am. As we said, God wants me to ask in faith. God wants me to be persistent in that. And God wants me to do things according to His will and live right. So there are some things that depend upon me. But after I've satisfied those things, then God may decide there's something different that you need. So we don't always know really what's best for us. And that's to be something we have to acknowledge. I don't always know what's best. I know what I want sometimes. And I know something that I think I need. But sometimes those are physical cravings. I had a lady one time ask me, should I pray for a refrigerator? I told her, yes. If that's what you have a need of, you let God know. But there's so much more above and beyond that. Because we need to recognize that God is able to do even what we don't know what to do. There's a wonderful passage in Romans chapter 8 that I'd like to look at because it says so much about this. Help us understand that God sometimes puts us in a different direction. In verse 26, and it's talking about the work of the Spirit with Christians. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now that's sort of a controversial passage with some. Here's what I think it's saying, just according to what the text says. There are times in my life when I really don't know what's best. There are times in my life when I've been overwhelmed. Now, I don't know whether that's ever happened to you or not, but it has to me. It's happened when I just didn't know even how to express what I wanted to pray for. I understand that happens to people and that this is what Romans 8 is saying. So there are groanings that I can't utter. There are things I can't say because I don't have the words or can't grasp how to say those things. But the Spirit of God, and it says the Spirit Himself, which is the intensive pronoun, it's not talking about some power, it's talking about the Holy Spirit Himself, is able to express what I feel to God.
Amen.
And that's a wonderful idea and understanding. That there are times when I am just inadequate. I want to pray for other people sometimes. And I don't know how to pray. I know people often say when they come up to a family who's lost a loved one, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say what I mean. And there are times when we're almost speechless because we can't figure out exactly what's best to say. But especially with regard to our own problems, when it's hard to put it into words, God understands.
Amen.
And it may be that He points me in a different direction, because there's what that solution would be. So again, I think I need to be flexible, but I've got to believe that God can help. I talked to a family who had lost a child about a year after we lost our child. And this woman was just insistent, "You have to get counseling. You've got to get counseling." And that was the direction she was pushing us in. And I said, "Well, I think that the Lord and us are going to be able to handle this." And she screamed, "That shows you need counseling." But I think God was pointing me in a different direction. And the prayer was heard. Because you don't always know what to say in situations like that. But you can express yourself to God. And He lost a son. God knows our feelings. And we have to understand that there's always an answer that's there. And so when we don't know just exactly what it is, then we need to ask God for our help. And again, something different. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And He looks at things differently. So His different answer may be the answer to my prayer. And I just don't know how to recognize it. I heard about a man one time who was on top of his house in a flood. And we can identify with that this week. He was praying to God to save him. And a guy with a boat came up and he wouldn't get in the boat. He said, "No, I'm praying for God to help me." Well, who sent the boat? And that's the idea, that sometimes we are asking for something spectacular to happen when God's answer is right there in front of our eyes. It's sort of like Naaman the leper. He wanted to be cured of leprosy. And he came down to the prophet, and he thought the prophet was going to come out and wave his hands and say some magical words and his leprosy would be gone. And the prophet didn't even come out to see him. He sent a servant. And he told him, "Go dip in the River Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean." And he went away mad. He went away mad because it wasn't what he wanted. But when God sent him a different direction and finally he was humble enough to accept what God said, he dipped 7 times in the River Jordan and his leprosy was gone. So we've got to open our minds to the idea that God can do what I want to do. He may not do it just exactly like I'm thinking about doing it. God's ways are always right. God's ways are always right. I know the end result of all of God's actions is for my salvation. And God's ways for me are always for my good. Now sometimes I'm going to be tested in fire. The Bible tells me that I'll have testing in fire. But the end result of that is like the smelting process. You take rough ore and you put it through the smelting process. You have refined gold or refined silver or refined steel, which is better in the end result than the ore where it began. And that's what's happened sometime when God puts things on me. It's for my good, but it's like the smelting process. You have to go through the fires to get it. Do I have enough faith to go through the fires to reach the result end, the desired end? And that's something that we have to think about. So see, prayer is a thoughtful process when you begin looking at these sort of things. And there are times when God says no. And what I mean by that is, somebody be saying, "God save me. God save me. I want you to save me, God." Well, he's saying no, because it's time for you to do something. God's done his part. He provided the plan of salvation. He gave his son on the cross. He built the church. He's provided the blood. Now then, quit praying and obey the Lord. Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. That's what Ananias told Saul. So sometimes it's time for us to act and quit asking for God things that we can do. And maybe we've asked from a selfish motive. And if we've asked from a selfish motive again, then God just may tell us no. And the thing about it is, He can tell if I've asked from a selfish motive, that I want to spend it on my own things. James chapter 4 and verse 3, you ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. I saw something on Facebook the other day. Said, I don't want for very much. I just want this and that and $8 million. I'm not going to pray for $8 million. I don't know how many times I get something on Facebook or on the line where it'll say, if you do this and this and this, in 3 hours you're going to have money. I don't fall for that. Some of my kin folks have done that. I don't fall for that. If it's just going to be a selfish thing, I wish I were going to Hawaii with the Nichols. But I'm not going to pray for that. That'd be so selfish. And see, I have to use some discretion. I have to use some thoughts. Am I praying for somebody else, or am I praying just for something selfish for me and mine? So there are the things that go through your mind when you're talking about prayer. And sometimes our Father says no because He's protecting us from ourselves, what we might do. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and look, beginning with verse 9. Hebrews 12 and verse 9. Furthermore, we have had our human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father's spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, it seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. And so sometimes when I ask for something really physical or something material, and God tells me no, because I don't ask for the right kind of things. And as an American, we ask for a lot of physical things. We are rich. I'm thinking about the fact that over in the Philippines, just this last week, they had a tremendous, tremendous typhoon. And the report from the brethren over there that many people lost their homes. Brother Harry Osborne is leaving in November to go over there. And maybe we need to think about sending some money to him to help spare those brethren. I think we need to consider that. We might talk about that tonight as something we could do. They look at us that we're rich. All of us. They live in grass huts. They live in circumstances beyond our understanding. One of the reports says that their rice crop and their fruit trees that they use to make money to live on have been destroyed. It'll be 2 years before they have another fruit crop if the trees have not been destroyed at all. And I don't have to worry about that. And so we have to realize that sometimes when we start praying for ourselves, maybe it's time to start thinking about someone else. So these are things that come to my mind as we're praying, and we fail to seek God's will and His purpose in our prayers. Now, God's purpose is for us to have forgiveness of sins and go to heaven. That's why I started our lesson talking about home this morning. All the good things that we anticipate are connected with God. And this is what God wants for us. So let me be introspective. I'll think about me and you think about you. What are we doing to work into God's overall plan of salvation for us? Are you living the kind of life that God would want you to live? Have you truly obeyed the gospel of Christ, be baptized for the remission of sins, added to the Lord's church, and you're going to live for the Lord? Then you put yourself in a position where God hears you. And within the framework of His will, we're able to go to heaven. That's what it's all about. If I miss that, I've missed everything. Think about that, if you will, as we consider this morning prayer. And I recognize there's so much more to prayer than what I've said here, but that's the beginning, and we'll study that more as the time goes on. If you're present, if you're here this morning and not a child of God, we invite you to put yourself in a position to pray and have all the blessings that God wants you to have while we stand together and sing the invitation song.